J6, number 10A.
All right, so these are points we can... This is why tonality building is important. I can only present something, but it takes time for us to go into our arc of consciousness to be a real Noah, huh? To practice the spiritual qualities of pondering and praying, and as we do, this subject becomes understandable and natural to us. But the main thing, as I said, just as the cassette turned off, is that what this dimensional explanation of the synonyms for God want to show is that there's only one universe, and it's only the universe of God going on, the all, which is the all in all, and that the armies of evil are really the armies of the Lord, and what we call evil is really good misunderstood. We just don't understand it as good, and we call it as a false evil influence in our life, but it isn't. It's just good. So what we have to ask when we're under a state of animal magnetism or chaos, what is the blessing behind it? Max Kapler, I said that one of the big characteristics of John Dorley was that he always said, what is the blessing behind it? What is the blessing? Let's see the blessing. Constantly, 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 just always, never left anything in hell. The minute somebody would say to him, he said, now what's the blessing behind it? Wanting them to go on to the higher order. Now you see the truth behind that, that is looking to you like animal magnetism, but you see the love behind it. All right, well, let's go on next to the next day. And I just touch now on these generally. I'll just give the general method, and we can then elaborate on it in our own time. Then on the second day of spirit, it said, let there be spirit, let there be the firmament. And we could see then that this firmament meant that line of demarcation between that which is real and that which is unreal. So as we have projected there, we saw that the firmament stood then for the onlyness of spiritual reality, separating the real from the unreal and bringing understanding. And what does that do to our approach? It causes us to turn to spirit, to turn away from materiality, valuing the spiritual above all else. So let's now look at how spirit structures itself dimensionally. Again, only as a quick, simple exercise to give method. On page 72, we see then the same with spirit as we did with mind. We identify with spirit and we say, all right, the spirit which is God is our spirit. We have no other spirit than the spirit which is God. And we say now, how does spirit see itself? Column one. And we say, well, spirit sees itself as the only nature of being. That spirit sees itself as the only reality. Now, because spirit is second, it's not first. It's implying the truth about that which came first. So for spirit looks back at the first day and says that that one mind which is God, which is the all mind, is the only reality. There is no other reality except that one mind which is God. That constitutes the reality of being, what we just saw the first day. See, it affirms what has gone before. Every synonymous term builds on the one that came before in the order of the word. That's an invariable order. It cannot be reversed. It's invariable. So that's why in exercise, always go back to the next synonym. The following synonym always talks about the preceding ones. So spirit is always talking about the first day and says, now that's the only reality, that all mind which is God. It's the only substance. Mind and its ideas are the only substance to the universe. There is no other substance but infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. That infinite manifestation, that realm of idea, that realm of and ideas are the only substance of the universe and our only nature. But those ideas of mind constitute our nature, and that nature is always good. Then we say, well then, what does spirit, how is spirit in relationship to the universe? Well, it says, well then, that one mind, which is the only reality and is only good, which constitutes our nature, that mind and its ideas, which are the only substance, they are always in an infinite reflection, in a universal reflection, in a universal rhythm of input, process, output, feedback. We'll see that spirit is the calculus that moves the word Christ, Christianity, and science. But some of us are so new to the subject, you just get the spirit of what is being said here, is that spirit in its own realm begins to be the rhythm, the movement behind mind. Her mind isn't static. Mind has operational values. Mind ideas are mind's universe. Mind's infinite manifestation is in a rhythm. It's in a rhythm of input, process, output, feedback. And that infinite rhythm of mind in the universe, that mind is operating in a rhythm, that rhythm, as it appears in creation itself, is that rhythm which is giving birth to individual ideas. That rhythm of spirit brings forth the individual ideas of mind. And those ideas are unfolding in the universe. Those ideas are diversifying, classifying, individualizing. Those ideas are ordering everything. And therefore, in what form does it come to the human, this only reality of mind in its universal rhythm, which is giving birth to the individual ideas? It comes to us as spiritual qualities, as progress, as going forth, that these ideas that come to the human cause us to go forward. They cause us to evolve. They bring understanding. They bring us strength. They bring us a pure nature. They bring us a positive nature. That comes to us through the rhythm of spirit. We're given a pure nature. We can't make ourselves pure, you see. It's that rhythm of spirit that makes us pure. It's the rhythm of spirit that makes us progress. It's a rhythm of spirit that makes us evolve. And we welcome it. And that rhythm of spirit in column 5 allows no mingling between that which is pure and that which is impure. And because it allows no mingling, that rhythm of spirit goes to the warfare. It goes to battle against anything that isn't like God and begins to purify. And what higher attitude does that have on the human and in our life? Well, it causes us to turn away from matter, to turn away from what is unreal and turn to the spirit. It isn't because we're so clever to decide in our life that we're going to take a spiritual path instead of a material path. The rhythm of spirit is making us turn away from the material to the spiritual. And our willingness and to respond to that through science rather than through suffering. And so therefore it brings to us the attitude of worship, that we focus only on the spiritual. We love the spiritual. We ponder the spiritual. We put first things first. And it brings us patience. You see, spirit is always patience because it's the ordering process in the universe. And therefore we know that the universe is within that rhythm of spirit, ordering its ideas, which are coming to us as spiritual evolution. And therefore we have the patience to let our life evolve. That's why patience is a quality of spirit, because it happens in an order. And so therefore, when we get impatient, we have to remember that's not a spiritual quality. because we aren't letting the order happen in our life. We should be patient and let the Spirit of God move upon the face of the waters in our life. Let the situation be purified according to the way Spirit wants to purify it. Now, if we resist that and we don't let in the infinite rhythm of Spirit and allow that Spirit to purify us and allow it to put first things first and allow us to turn away from the material and to the spiritual, then that is going to appear as a struggle between good and evil in our life. It's going to appear as duality, as the mingling of opposites, where we struggle with the evil. Instead of letting the evil go, turning away from it and letting Spirit purify it, we battle with it. We battle with the impurity. We battle with it takes up from that first day of mind. That evil, that animal magnetism is now being taken away from us in Spirit through the order of Spirit. And if we didn't let it be taken away at the point of Spirit, we would fight with the animal magnetism. You see what we call evil. We try to go against it and fight with it rather than let it be purified. Let it be turned into God. We keep it evil. We don't let it be turned back into its rightful standpoint. We keep it as wrong. You see, we keep fighting as an enemy, fighting it as an evil, rather than to let God put it back into its rightful perspective. All right, there's many more things, of course, we could say, but let's take one more, soul before the break. So, therefore, we say, for the third day, that the soul, let there be soul in my life. Let the soul which is God be my soul. I have no other soul than the soul which is God. Therefore, we saw that meant the dry land and the seed within itself. And we just saw that that biblical symbol meant the definiteness of spiritual identity, which names and defines all. So we say that the soul which is God is our soul. We have no other identity than the identity which is soul itself. And that comes to us as making us humble and willing to let soul name and define all things rightly. So we see then with soul that we identify and we say, well, what is soul in its own realm? And we say, well, the soul in its own realm is that the soul which is God is my soul. Therefore, that soul which is God is the only ego in the universe. I have no other ego except the one divine ego which is God. That ego which is God is the only, ego of the universe. There are not a lot of little egos, huh? There is just that one ego which is God, that one identity which is God, and that one ego which is God is unchanging. It never changes. It's always the same. It's always within the rhythm of its infinite withinness. It is the I am that I am. So therefore, that one ego which is God is my ego. I have no other ego except the one ego which is God. And how does that one ego, that one identity, soul, appear in the universe? It appears as unlimited, never in little egos, always staying within the rhythm of its own ego, within its infinite capacity, within its infinite withinness. And how does that one soul appear to creation? It appears that soul, which is unchangeable, it is never without its representative. It always is reproducing itself. That those ideas of mind are just the way mind reproduces itself. See, soul looks back at mind and says, that mind, when it creates ideas, is just creating ideas of itself. See, that's that reflects back. And so those ideas are just patterns of mind appearing in many different ways. So mind is always reproducing itself. They see this in today in holographic images, that original source just keeps reproducing itself, especially when they get into fractal geometry or fractal mathematics, whatever it is. They see how there is one form that just keeps patterning itself. And so that's that reproducing of itself always. And that's this new science that they're hot on in the world, working with fractals. But it's this idea then that mind isn't reproducing something else. As spirit shows, it's bringing forth its likeness. And soul says, yes, it always just can reproduce itself. And constantly, always identifying itself. It has that infinite seed within itself, that the creation of individual ideas are just the way that mind's ideas appear in many different ways, but always remains mind. And in what form does it come to the human? That soul, that one ego, that infinite withinness, which is has that infinite capacity. It's never in anything. Never in its idea. It's always soul. It's always presenting itself again in many different ways. So it's not in its idea because it's always is it. It's always the way soul is appearing in many ways. Mind appears in many different ways. Its ideas appear in many different ways, but it still remains itself. See, that's what soul is saying. And therefore it comes to the human as our true selfhood. That we really are the image and likeness of God, because we are just another reproduction of mind, huh? How mind reproduces itself. It's not reproducing itself in another form, but again and again producing itself. So that gives us comes to us as what are the spiritual evidence of our true self. And that should bring us freedom, doesn't it? And as we'll see, it's going to bring us freedom from thinking we have a little ego of our own. It should give us security because we're within the infinite rhythm of soul. And therefore, how does soul appear in its suppositional opposite? It appears as the greater controlling the lesser. It appears as soul is always then retranslating out any belief that anything else is going on besides God. Soul is that which, because of its infinite withinness, keeps everything within it. It keeps the whole universe always within soul, always within the identity of God. That's the office of soul. That's why soul is the hinge of the Christ translation and retranslation, because it's the office of God to keep everything within God, not to let anything get outside of God. So that's why the translation and retranslation, God comes to us and translates out of us any belief that anything else is going on within except God. It keeps the infinite rhythm of withinness going on constantly. So that's why soul has to do with restoring. All the re's are usually store. Re-soul are usually resurrection, restoring, reversing. See, it turns it back, reverses, to maintain the infinite rhythm of withinness. Wonderful soul. I mean, and God does this by itself. So the universe will be saved because of this, of soul, of this infinite withinness of soul. Soul will just translate and retranslate, bring everything back so it maintains a whole universe, that the universe maintains its infinite withinness, its infinite balance, its infinite wholeness. So we go on there and see at the point six, what attitude does it bring to bring up into us when we let this soul happen in our life? Certainly humility. It certainly brings in that self-abnegation of our ego for the divine. It certainly brings out an unselfish attitude where Jesus said, it's not my will, but thine be done. It's the humility and the meekness to self-abnegate the sense that we have an ego separate from the ego, which is God. And therefore, How does that soul appear when it's misunderstood? As sin, as missing the mark, as not self-abnegating the ego for the divine, as selfishness, wanting to be, that's self-interest. All that self-interest, it goes against soul, because soul wants to maintain the infinite withinness of being, that there's only one ego, and that one ego is the infinite withinness with being, and that we will see that all happens according to love, huh? All within the purpose of love. But if one resists soul, if one resists the infinite withinness of being and doesn't have the humility to self-abnegate one ego's for the divine, then we sin. We become selfish. That's all sin is selfishness. And therefore, self-interest. And therefore, that brings that whole sense of selfishness, sensuality in sin. That whole sense of egotism comes in at that point. But soul will, that's only as we resist it, but the soul, because of its translation and retranslation, will wipe away that ego, huh? And eventually cause, through science or suffering, that ego to yield to the humility of soul and let soul be the greater that controls the lesser until finally we are brought back into that infinite withinness of being. All right, so we go on with principle. With the fourth day. And we see then that we, in our method of practice, that we say, well then, let there be principle. Let the principle which is God be our principle. Let us have no other principle than the principle which is God. And the biblical writers gave the symbol of the sun, the moon, the stars to give light. And we could see that metaphysically interpreted, that meant a divine system of principle governing the universe, the scientific metaphysics demonstrating spiritual power. And that has an impact on us of having a scientific and divinely principled attitude, being honest and consistently obedient to the spiritual. So let's take a look at principle as it structures itself dimensionally. And in practice, and we say, all right, then that principle which is God is our principle. We have no other principle than the principle which is God. We have no other science than the science which is God. We have no other, we take no other science as our authority than that absolute science which is God. And because why? Because the principle which is God is that infinite one science, that infinite is indivisible whole, that infinite one supreme being. And that infinite principle is not a person. Here it shows that it says that principle is a divine person. Well, that person is capitalized, but we see that that principle is not anthropomorphic. As we saw, that principle means that fundamental truth, the comprehensive law of the universe, which includes all other laws. So that divine person, God, one doesn't want to be confused that it's anthropomorphic. It's a supreme being. It's a supreme living process. That principle is a supreme living process. Therefore, I always feel I don't really care for a divine person in relationship to principle, because it does tend to have that anthropomorphic concept. We have to make sure we know that principle and what principle means is, as we have defined it then, as the comprehensive law of the universe. Therefore, that principle which is God is our principle. As we said, basically, we take no other science as our authority than that absolute science which is principle itself. And how does that principle appear in the universe? It appears as the principle of all, that all have the same principle, that all lives under this, the whole universe is under the same principle. There are not many principles going on in the universe. All ideas have the same principle, the same law that it's that is governing. And therefore, we see then that all ideas have the same system, all ideas are under the authority of the same self-operating, self-governing, self-organizing, self-regulating principle. All ideas are under the government of the same cybernetic principle. That cybernetic principle which is governing the universe, that self-operating, remember how we studied there? That cybernetic principle which operates by itself, holistically, dimensionally, and teleologically. That cybernetics is a tone of divine science. That cybernetic, ever-operative, self-governing, self-organizing principle which is love. A principle on that level of divine science is a principle which is love, a principle which is holistic causality, oneness causality, goal causality, and all ideas have that same principle. That principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle. There's only that one omni-action of that universal principle going on in the universe. And then, what is that principle in relationship to its creation? That all, that principle, which is a principle of all principles, the principle which is the principle of all, where all ideas have the same principle, then that one principle is the creative principle. It's the only principle going on. And every idea in absolute Christian science, all, see, on divine science, it's a universal principle. See, that cybernetics is a universal self-operating principle. And on absolute Christian science, it becomes a principle of the specific ideas. And therefore, that is the creative principle behind every idea. That cybernetic principle is that which is bringing forth all specific ideas. It's that self-operating, self-regulating principle of input, process, output, feedback, which is impelling forth all ideas. It's out of that infinite cybernetic principle comes the creation of ideas. And that cybernetic self-operating principle is governing all ideas. That cybernetic self-operating principle, which operates as the self-declaring, self-operating, self-fulfilling, self-explaining principle, is the principle interpreting all ideas, is that principle which is interpreting itself to everyone. There's only one principle of interpretation, and it's interpreting itself to everyone. Why, everyone should just have the same principle of interpretation. That's why we see that. Why are there so many interpretations to the Bible? There really should be one principle of interpretation interpreting itself to everyone. And that principle of interpretation should be our only authority. And in what form does that infinite one principle, which is the principle of all, which is that cybernetic, self-operating, self-regulating principle, which is the only creative principle going on in, as the only principle of interpretation to us all, it comes to us as authority. It can't get out of it.